5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. Lovely to be with you once again on what is, quite frankly, a very warm day. I am getting sick and tired of this heat that we seem to be having in this country at the moment. Get rid of it. I want winter back immediately. Can we talk to the powers that be? Robin Christofferson's from AbilityNet, and he's here. Hello to you, Robin.
Hello, Stephen. I would normally say, you know, if you don't like the weather, wait half an hour in the UK. But actually, it's been consistently muggy and, too warm, too sticky.
It's just ridiculous. I cannot put up with this nonsense. So, you know, I know you're a lord, right? So you're in the lord position there. Can you speak to the powers that be, whatever those powers, in fact, may be, to fix the problem? Can you do that?
Can't even get air conditioning in the old country estate.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, well, that's a no then. We've got Tim Schwartz here from lifeafterblindness.com. Hello to you. How hot is it where you are, Tim?
Well, hello, Stephen. Hello, Robin. It is quite hot and muggy and humid and sticky, just like it is there. So, yeah, not faring any better here, actually.
Okay, well, let's check in with Emails Andy. He is the guy with the emails. Hang on. Yeah, there we go. That's the one. Yeah, we need to play that every time.
It's my theme music.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got your own walk on.
Sticky.
Yes, we'll just move past that comment. Emails Andy's here. Hello, Emails Andy. Are you warm?
Hello, hello, hello. Yes, now my Windows update has finally fixed itself. So now, right in front of me, it's telling me 22 degrees, mostly sunny.
That was
it's
the update,
warmer
was it?
There yeah. than it is down here. That's unheard of.
I don't know what's
the
going
world
on.
World is going to end.
Oh, well, wow. Absolutely. I mean, not during this program. I mean, let's not scare people.
Yeah.
I think we've got a bit of time. Yeah, exactly. We've got some time. Lots to talk about on the show this week. We are going to get into your emails. Robin's reviewing the Echo Show 10. That is, actually, I should say the brand new Echo Show 10, which has got a swivelly screen. That's the technical term. It means that it kind of moves from side to side. Follows you around the room, Robin. Sounds terrifying. So we'll hear about that and find out how all that works. We're also going to be checking in with Dinos today from the Technology for Life team. He's here to tell us all about the new way to enjoy radio. Now, I don't know about you guys. I remember in the good old days, when you wanted to listen to the radio, you would you'd get your little radio out and you'd, you know, scan through all the stations. You'd go through, that carry on, and you'd listen through and try and identify whatever station it was and, you know, listen to those far-flung stations on AM or FM, whatever it was. All very cool stuff. You can still do that these days, just without the bit, you know. It's just a bit more clicky now. We're going to get into that with Dinos today. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's true, though, isn't it? I mean, do you guys remember that? I mean, come on, you're all old like me.
On my bathroom windowsill, I had one of those old radios, you know, little transistor, AM, FM, mm-hmm. until really quite recently, like a couple of years ago, until it really, you know, finally died. And that was replaced by my Echo Dot with a battery base.
There you go.
Which follows me into the bathroom every time.
Not by itself, I imagine. That would be pretty intelligent.
No.
What were you, Tim? Was it, is it different over there? Because we've got AM, we've got FM, no. We've got long wave.
Yeah, it's pretty much all the same. And yeah, growing up, it was the keep turning the knob until you happen to get lucky enough to find a station and hear all the static and the noise and the, you know, music and everything. And then the scan button was introduced, and I was so happy. Just hit a button and automatically found the next channel. But
that was so boring. Nowadays,
oh, stop.
No, it was.
Why, because you didn't get to hear all that noise?
I like that noise, because sometimes you would pick up stations that were in the static, that were just maybe not good enough to get. So you couldn't quite pick up the signal, so you'd get this kind of staticky, and you'd be listening, you'd maybe hear distant voices. I mean, especially here in the UK, you've got a lot of European stations. Sometimes you would get stations, you know, clearly from abroad in some parts of Europe or beyond. And it was great to listen to. I loved all that.
You're making me feel really old, Stephen, because I remember turning it way up when I would get one of those stations and press my ear to the speaker. You're like, okay, what are they saying? Are they what are they talking about? Wow, you know.
I know.
So, yeah.
And then depending on the weather, the station would drift a bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
So So you'd have to be adjusting it because it would kind of get worse and worse.
My gran used to love listening to a particular station. I think it was RTE in Ireland. Funnily enough, that's what Dinas refers to in his feature that's coming up. And it's so funny because whenever we go into a store, even I remember maybe in the last 10 years, my gran's not with us anymore, but she was when she was with us, we'd sometimes go into a store and she'd want to buy another radio. She was always buying radios. She was breaking them, pouring tea over them or something. And we'd go into the store and she'd say, "Does this radio get Ireland?" And that was her line every single time to the guy. And of course, the guy's like, I don't know how that works exactly. But yeah, what she meant was RTE, you know, so would you get that? And because she loved listening to all that. But anyway, yes, lots of memories from the old days of radio. So we're going to get into that and how we can bring it up to date. So yeah, all that coming up. But do you know what? I think we'll just get started into the emails, shall we? Because do you know what? We've got so many of them. So let's just get into some emails. I think that's a good idea. Let's get some emails.
Email. We get email. Get your email every day.
Yes, we do.
Here's your mail today.
So, Andy's got the email inbox, which, as you know, is counted in pages here on Tech Talk, for reasons best known to themselves. Right, what's in the... Okay, first off, how many pages are we dealing with here? Are we dealing hundreds? Tens?
We did all right last week. We got through 3 pages last week, so we're now down to 6.
Right.
So we're doing good. We're doing good.
Okay, well, cool. Well, let's get on to page one then.
Yeah, page one, email one. So this email is from Harry. He starts, "On Friday, I spoke to a member of your team about how my Orbit Reader 40 had frozen whilst preparing to upgrade to the firmware. I also mentioned that I've been using the display paired with my iPhone 12 with latest software, and I found that while reading a book in Dolphin Easy Reader app that sometimes the Orbit would skip a few lines of text, even halfway through a word. And I'm pleased to report that removing the Orbit battery and then deleting and then re-downloading the firmware enabled me to update the firmware, and that this seems to be so far to have solved the problem of skipping what text is displayed with the app. So thanks for your team for the helpful suggestions. Might it be useful to update the firmware of your stock Orbit 40 reader units?" That's from Harry.
Okay, well, thank you, Harry. That comment clearly aiming at the Technology for Life team, and that's obviously who's helped Harry out, because I don't think any of us would have known the answer to that.
I don't believe
one.
We've covered that in the past, have we?
No, we haven't. But that's good information. It's good for people to know if they're having similar problems with that device. You know, it's the funny thing about updates, as you well know, Andy, updates can be a bit irritating. You had the situation with your Windows computer where it just wouldn't do the update no matter what tried to do. I had a situation, so just a slight aside on this. So I've had an ongoing challenge with my MacBook Air, my beautiful M1 MacBook Air that just would not behave at all. So I'd decided to put the macOS 12 beta on it. That was probably the first mistake. But when I had decided I don't want to do this anymore, I want to go back to macOS 11 point whatever it is, 4 we're on or whatever it is, it just wouldn't let me. It would not let me do it no matter how hard I tried. And then when I finally got it to work, which basically involved downloading the OS, putting it on a USB stick, turning that into a bootable installer, reinstalling the whole thing from scratch, it came up with this bug, which I didn't even know existed, that meant that when you get to the point where you're trying to create a computer account, you know, just your basic computer account that lets you log in, just name and password, wouldn't let me do it. Just kept kicking me out and saying, "Can't do it. Username's not available." What? My name's not available? It made no sense at all. And then what happened is the machine would reboot itself, bring up that account screen as if you were logging in for the first, as if you're logging in any time. You fill in the password and nothing. Just wouldn't work. Just kept saying the password was false. So I had to go through this whole process of DFU mode, which I actually don't even know what that stands for. But basically, it's like some kind of super recovery mode that you got to put the machine into. But you can only do it with another Mac of the same type and using a specific USB-C port. It's such a bizarre thing. I had to go through all this to restore the whole thing back. And even that wouldn't work. So I had to then go in and completely wipe every single partition on that particular drive and then force the machine to get back to day one. So almost factory style. It was quite a job, but I got there in the end. I was so glad because I thought I'd have to take it into the store, but I managed to do it, and it was all accessible. I love the Mac for that. Not for everything, but I love the Mac for that part. Every single bit of it, the whole process is accessible. You'd have to deal with BIOS or any of that garbage. Everything is all, you know, it's all there and it's all spoken by the lovely Fred. So, you know, it's not all bad. But yeah, bit of a nightmare. Okay. So yeah, that's the thing. I mean, when it goes wrong, it can go horribly wrong. And you think with a brand new machine like that, it would have been okay. But I guess these things happen. And if you are upgrading, it's not a macOS 12 thing, by the way. It's nothing to do with the beta. It's a flaw in Big Sur for M1 Max, which if you do decide to reset your computer, be prepared for trouble. So maybe
what
don't
was the
do
key
it.
Takeaway that you have to delete partitions?
The takeaway is don't do it. Never reset your computer, or you'll end up with nothing but hassle. But yeah, when you get into the disk utility part, when you're in recovery mode, you pretty much have to wipe the partitions completely. So yeah, not ideal. Not ideal, but like I said, at least it was accessible. Accessible nightmares, that's what I'm going to call that series. But yes, good news about the Orbit, and this is certainly feedback which I hope that the Technology for Life team and indeed the RNIB store will take on board. Let's move on to another email, Andy.
Okay, well, the next three emails, strangely, are from listeners called Rachel. So this first email is from friend of the show, has been on the show before, Ray Walker. Hello, I am a very confused, scared and lost blind girl that's hopefully going to be going into the world of work at some point, and I have no idea where to start. But my first place would be, I thought I would email you lovely people. Okay, first of all, can anyone recommend apps for software that is reliable for reading paper documents? I know you've seeing AI, but in my experience, sometimes it cuts off part of the letter, and in a work environment, it'd be kind of bad if I missed something important. I've also heard a lot of people talking about the KNFB reader, but some people say that it's great and others say that it's poop. That's Rachel saying it's poop, by the way. Working in an office environment and using JAWS, you can imagine the headphones would be one sense. So you would not drive your colleagues up the wall with JAWS rumbling at supersonic speed. At the same time, it's really important that you can still hear your colleagues and the office telephone ring. In one of your recent episodes, you spoke about the Aftershock headphones. Will these kind of wireless Bluetooth headphones be accessible for use on the computer, or is that just with iPads and iPhones and things like that? What ones would you recommend are the best for JAWS? My parting note is that is there any other technology or apps that could really benefit from working in an admin office-y type job? Also, side note, I haven't practiced Braille in a while, but I might be good to start back up again for things like labeling filing cabinets in use, unless there is any other way around this. So Rachel ends with a pun as well. I've been reading a horror book in Braille, she says. Something bad's going to happen. I can feel it.
Hey! Very good. Very good.
Well done. No, I would have to say, when I was previously employed, if you're in a position where you're able to obtain JAWS, whether that's, you know, through government or local organization or the employer themselves, see if they can also get Kurzweil, because using your phone, especially if you're trying to get multiple documents scanned to read multiple documents at once, if you have a scanner at your desk and could just use the Kurzweil application for Windows and scan in the document, that is so much easier, so much faster, and it'd be so much more reliable. So I would look at that. KNFB reader on the phone. Yeah, I mean, some people get really good results, some don't. A lot of it comes down to lining up the camera properly, and there are stands you can get online that'll help you do that, or you can kind of lock it in, and they're really, really cheap to make sure that you're getting the full page. But in a work environment like that, I would want to use, was it Kurzweil 1000 or whatever?
Yeah, that's right.
At least the version that I had. Yeah, so Kurzweil 1000 along with JAWS works really, really well. Braille labeling, I think, is really helpful. In my situation, I didn't know Braille, of course, at that time. So I actually had a pen friend labeler, and every file that I needed or every little thing that I needed to know what it was for future reference, I had stickers on them and used a pen friend labeler and you know, had it all set up and recorded to tell me what things were. So those things really, really helped me a lot in an office environment.
Yeah. I mean, I immediately think about Access to Work and how, yep, this could be your best friend, Rachel, honestly, because The great thing about Access to Work is you can get access to things that you may not be able to afford yourself, or indeed your family could afford, or, you know, because the cost of a lot of this equipment is very expensive. Kurzweil's a great example of that. It's about £1,000. And, you know, you still got to add a scanner to that. You want a high quality scanner, so you're talking a couple of hundred quid there. So you're in the £1,100-£1,200 ballpark before you even, you know, think about anything else. So, you know, and this is where we can talk about these products, because it seems to be the kind of place you would be able to get access to that. I mean, not saying people can't afford it. I mean, of course you might be able to, and that's great. But if you have got access to Access to Work funding, then, and you will, because you're in a new job, then that's great. I would also say just a quick word for VoiceStream Scanner, which I think is a brilliant app. Probably I would decide, some of you might remember years ago, I think it was on this show, I did a demo or a kind of comparison between VoiceStream Scanner and Kurzweil 1000. I actually did a kind of side by side, and both were brilliant. I mean, there's no denial that Kurzweil 1000 is a fantastic app. It does require a lot of hardware. It requires you the scanner, it requires you a PC, it requires you the knowledge of using that software, although it is very good and it is very easy to operate. It's, of course, brilliantly blind-friendly. And, of course, it has that huge price tag to go with it as well. But again, in the workplace, let's just put that to the side. VoiceStream Scanner, I felt in some ways, gave me a better result for a couple of different reasons. One, because it was on the phone. It was easier to access some of the information I was looking for. So, you know, I would certainly have that. If you were using Kurzweil, as Tim says, have VoiceStream Scanner as well. It's only a few quid, I think, if even that, on the App Store. So, you know, you could have that on your phone as well. And that's a great app to have anywhere around the office. So I'd certainly recommend that. Yeah, Robin, I mean, there's lots of things. There's a lot of other things I want to mention, but you chime in.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure if Ray was saying that she, when she says she hopes to get back into the world of work, whether she's got something lined up. Access to Work, if you have a job in mind, you can, you know, in on the offing, as it were, on the horizon, then you can get Access to Work prior to starting, if you're really lucky, so that you don't have to wait months to get your equipment in place after starting, which can really throw people in a new job anyway. But if you're, you know, she mentioned seeing AI, and if you're wanting to scan documents and get used to an app before you start a job, or just for your mail that comes through the door, then yep, VoiceStream Scanner, absolutely brilliant. And as Tim mentioned, get a stand if you want to get that positioning right.
It's the giraffe kind of stand, isn't it? It's the giraffe.
Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a more expensive one than some that you can get on online, though, as Tim was saying. So it depends on, you know, there are.
Well, that's true. I mentioned that because it's the one that immediately comes to mind. But you're right. There's probably a billion versions of them online, especially through that, you know, A shop.
Yeah, but the audio cues on VoiceStream Scanner are really good for lining up the document. So it depends on the volume that you're talking about. You might want to get a flatbed scanner with something like Kurzweil.
And can I just say as well, carry on. Sorry, I get excited.
Just quickly on the earphone side of things. I just use earbuds that came with my phone. I've still got pairs from when I had phones that had 3.5 mil jacks. These are just the normal AirPods, earpods as they were called. And she, you know, was talking about listening to Jaws whilst being aware of the office. Well, there's no noise cancellation with these in-ear ones at all, which there might be with over-the-ear ones. So you can still be perfectly aware of what's going on around you and be listening to your screen reader for an inexpensive pair of, you know, in-ear earbuds. So they're not the ones that squeeze right into your ear canal. You know, they're just wired, which I think is important for a screen reader, latency wise. Anything Bluetooth, including the aftershocks. Can you get wired aftershocks?
No, you can't.
Because I think the latency would kill them.
And it's funny you say that, because I was just about to suggest, and you know, you've kind of blown my idea out the window, or water, whatever that phrase is. But yeah, I've actually got mine here. I've got the Opencom by Aftershocks. This, I think, is possibly the best headset Aftershocks have ever come out with. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One, they fit my fat head. I'm pretty sure, not knowing Ray particularly well, but I imagine that she will not have this problem. I do. But, you know, sometimes these Aftershocks didn't quite fit me at all. These are actually pretty good. They also have a boom mic on them, and that's really the best bit, because the microphone is really good on them. And, you know, my wife and I were talking and actually trying out these today. She's got a pair as well, excuse me. She's got a pair. And she was saying, let's try a Teams call with them. So we did that today, and she was finding they were really clear. I could hear her so clearly. She could hear me really clearly. That's one thing that the Aftershocks headphones for years always had a bit of a problem with. The microphone in them was terrible, whereas these ones are not the case. They're built for this kind of communication. And also that little microphone kind of bends back out the way, so you don't have to have it, you know, on display all the time. So you look like Britney Spears walking around. Or, you know, I guess modern singers are available. I don't know who they are, mind you, but yeah, I'm sure there's more than Britney Spears has worn this kind of mic. Madonna, maybe. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so these are pretty good. The sound quality of them is good as well. I do find them particularly loud, and we've had a bit of a debate about this in the past on the show about the loudness of these. And of course, it is all adjustable. There is one slight thing I would say about these, and I have found the solution to these, let's just say I found the solution to them, but you're going to have to wait a bit, because what happens is when you use these particular headphones or headsets with something like Microsoft Teams on a PC, it cuts off all the other system sounds, which includes your screen reader. Bit of a nuisance if you're blind, right? There is a solution to it, and the reason is all to do with the style of Bluetooth. It's to do with, I don't even pretend to understand it, but it's to do with the nature of Bluetooth and how Bluetooth profiles
it
are switched.
To what, A2DP or something?
That's
which
right.
Is basically a call mode.
Yeah. So nothing else gets through.
To that. Yeah.
Whereas in Windows 11, they've fixed this problem. I've tested it. It does work, and it works perfectly. So now my OpenCom Aftershocks on Windows 11 with a PC works really well. I'm not suggesting that's an excuse to go and download Windows 11, because there's a lot of other problems, and obviously it is a beta at the moment, but it does prove that it's being fixed. That is good news. They did promise that that would be fixed, and they've come through on that, so that's really good. But I actually think Robin's right. I think that the basic AirPods, AirPods, I guess, as they are, that come with your, or used to come with iPhones and whatever else, if they've got that 3.5mm jack, that's perfect, especially for that latency. So yeah, I'm all for that. But there's one other thing that I wanted to bring up on that labelling. Yeah, the PenFriend, Tim, that's a great idea. Absolutely brilliant idea. Because, you know, I was thinking that myself. I mean, you could buy a Braille labeller, you could label stuff up, but it's just a lot easier with the PenFriend.
Just don't forget stick on that lens little... as well.
Well, yeah, NaviLens, you could print out something, stick it up, I guess. You know, it could be more challenging. Well, yeah, it does. But again, access to work, you know, they would provide all that. So there is that.
Yeah.
Can I also suggest as well, dare I say it, I would never brought this up before in a suggestion list like this, Orcam.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, exactly. I've actually got Orcam. Hang on. The lovely people at Orcam sent me the latest Orcam, My Eye 2, which is actually, I think the original one was called My Eye 2, which confused people. But this is an update. Slight new redesign. A lot of people ask me the same question about this. They say, well, what's the difference between something like this, which costs a lot of money? I think there's something like, maybe Andy's got the ability to look it up there from Orcam My Eye 2, and if you can look up the price, I think it's 2,500, maybe thereabouts, but it's a lot of cash, right? Compare that to something like an app which you can download for a few pounds. You know, you would think, well, why would I not rather do that? Well, of course, this isn't designed for people who are using those kind of apps, right? That's the first thing. But secondly, there are a lot of smart features in this, a lot more smart features in this than people maybe give it credit for. And it's what makes it stand out. Now, funnily enough, Tim, you had sent us a WhatsApp message this week to the group talking about a new app that's on Android, which kind of does some of the things this now does. Which, for example, finding text. And that's one thing the Orcam's very good at. So I can use my Orcam, I could hold up a menu, and I could say, read the starters. And it will just capture the image of the page, and it will just immediately start reading the starters. Or if I say, find the phone number on a leaflet, it'll just go straight to the phone number, and it will read the phone number. But it also gives context as well, so it's not just reading out random numbers. So there are lots of things you can do with Orcam that make it worth, I think, the money. And as I say, when you need to work quickly and you need to get access to very specific information, it's all very well scanning something, but you've got to go through it all. You want to very quickly isolate that information. Maybe this is something that could do all of that. So I don't know. I mean, I'm early days with it, but I am impressed.
It's definitely got some unique features, like it can recognize your finger. If you point at a page, it will read it. It'll start reading it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's got some it's the Rolls Royce, I would say, but definitely an access to work job, I think, that one.
Yeah, definitely. And did you find the price by any chance?
Yeah, unfortunately, there wasn't anything on the Orcam site without needing to register to find the cost. But a quick Google suggests $3,500.
$3,500,
so right, okay. Be UK-wise. I was also very quickly looking there. The last time Ray was on the show, she was actually talking about Orcam. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, no.
2019, but... Stephen and Robin are joined by tech fan Ray Walker, who talks about her experience of Orcam.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, so she has tried it before. Oh. Well, it's certainly improved a lot since then. I mean, some of these, and there's even now object recognition features in there. They're moving towards more. I mean, it's not here yet, but they're also looking to create more mobility aid type skills in it. So, for example, you could ask, where's the door? And it will allow you to kind of get your hand to the door, recognizes where your hand is, recognizes where the doors is, and kind of does a whole Marco Polo thing until you get there. So it's kind of cool, you know, kind of cool that it's getting there. But like I say, that's a very specific device and it does require a few spondoolies. That's money, in case anyone's in any doubt there. Look, I hope some of that helps. There's a lot of, I mean, there's obviously tons of tech we could talk about, but it is about stuff that matters. I think, you know, everyone's mentioned it, but like JAWS, if you're going into the workplace, I think you've got to learn JAWS. I think you just do. And I can imagine the emails now. No, you don't. You don't need... I think you do. Yeah. I think you do.
Get a support worker as well. They're lovely.
Get a support worker as well. Well, I mean, that's actually... A lot of people don't realise that, that the Access to Work does provide support work capability. So you can have someone, mm-hmm. you know, working with you. And transport as well. So if you're struggling to get to work, if you really have challenges using public transport, then that's what the... The thing the scheme is there for. It's one of these best kept secrets, you know. Everyone's always I once had an email from someone years ago who said, please never talk about Access to Work, because if you talk about it, then they'll take it away. And I thought, thanks. I didn't know I had that power, but there you go. I don't think I do.
It's the same fear here in the States.
Committee.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
I was just
someone at the door. Oh,
somebody has a dog.
I was part of a government committee that was reviewing the whole of Access to Work. And I mean, it is one of the best kept secrets, really.
Yeah.
There are 25,000 Access to Work recipients in the UK at the moment, which is a tiny, tiny dot compared to the number of disabled people in work. So, you know, it's not well known about. It's sometimes difficult to do all the paperwork and to jump through all the hoops.
And hoodles.
Well worth it, though. Absolutely.
Yeah. Poodles and poodles and...
Noodles. Noodles. I'm going for noodles, personally.
Noodles. There you go.
Listen, I hope that helps, Ray. Do let us know how you got on. I know we've got other emails from Rachel's to come, but let's take a break from the emails for a second, because I want to turn to our good man Robin here, who's done a demo for us on the new Echo Show 10.
Here we are in the kitchen with...
Faith.
And a new Echo Show 10. The one with the swivelly screen. What do you think of it?
It's a bit creepy how it follows you around.
So, to describe it, if you imagine a fabric-covered, very squat barrel.
Yeah.
Or cylinder, flat top, cylinder around the edge. Yeah, top and bottom rims are rounded off. So you haven't got sharp circles top and bottom. They're kind of rounded off, smoothed off. 6 or so inches across, maybe 4 or 5 inches high, and sticking out of the top of it, or out of that kind of rounded off rim, flat with the top, is a little squat neck of plastic coming out about 2 inches by 2 inches, just sticking right out sideways horizontally. And on that is mounted a big screen. Much bigger than the other ones. This is a 10-inch, obviously.
The screen doesn't go right to the edge, though.
Does it not? Because no. You've got the camera in
you've
there and stuff.
You've got, like, 2 centimetres around the edge and about an inch at the top.
Okay. So, yeah, it's got quite a big bezel.
About the size of an iPad.
Okay. Yeah, well, it would be, because that's 9.7. So, yeah, bigger, obviously bigger screen than the Echo Show 8 by a couple of inches. But, yeah, it looks like quite a big flat-screen TV stuck on the side. Now, that the neck where it joins it is close to the bottom of the monitor. So there's more sticking up way above the little squat cylinder there. Well, quite big squat cylinder. It's got a big woofer or several, and it's got lots of tweeters and stuff. So we're definitely not going to crank it up to full volume because we've got the doors open. It's very hot here today. But we're Faith's listening to something on Netflix, was it?
No, it was on YouTube. I was watching Kitchen Nightmares, but I've closed it now, so let's try something else. So open Netflix.
Now, one of the weird things is, as soon as someone says her name...
Here's Netflix.
The whole thing swivels round so that the screen is facing that person. So it has mics that are listening in different directions. The whole thing noiselessly swivels round to see the person. Do you want to pick something?
Yeah, so I'm just conscious that it might be too loud, so I'll just turn it down a bit.
She's doing that with the buttons on the top.
Yeah, so I'll just play this anime that I was watching.
And I guess you did that by tapping the screen. But you can also say, play blah, blah, blah. What? This isn't very loud.
Oh, so much for that, huh? Win nationals this time around. Sweep all 3 years of high school.
I'm going to put it up quite loud and then down again quite quickly here, guys, so we can hear the volume.
Reluctantly. Get into trouble with a bunch of supermodels, lead the league in goals, win 10 Ballon d'Or in a row.
Okay, that was loud. What length of the bar was that, Faith?
That was all the way up.
All the way up, okay. So it can be really loud, guys, and very bassy as well. Anime, is that where they have big eyes?
Sometimes. There's lots of different styles of them.
Okay. Now, anything that's streaming, even if it's just audio, but certainly with Netflix, YouTube, Amazon Prime, Faith, if you now walk around the room, don't go so fast that it gets me in the screen as well, in the camera, because then it'll get confused.
Yeah, so as I'm walking, it's slightly delayed, quite a big delay, but it does turn.
It probably doesn't start doing it until your face gets to the edge of the camera view, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so you can walk around the kitchen now, and it can swivel, guys, almost to 360.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that it's away from a blockage, an obstacle. But if you do need to place it somewhere where it can't go all the way around, then you can set that in settings to make sure that it doesn't break the motor by trying to bash against things and carry on going. So, yeah, there you go. Quality of the screen?
Yeah, it's good.
Really good. Yeah, I guess the kitchen is a brilliant place for it because people move around a lot. And if I were to say her name, then it would swivel to me, so I better not say that. Do you want to pause it?
Yeah.
They're always out.
Brill. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm going to carry on very briefly. Thanks, Faith. Just to turn on voice view. Alexa, turn on voice view. It swiveled to face me now. I was behind the screen and it swiveled all the way around. Cool. Voice view is ready. Let's just turn that up a bit. Alexa, home.
Recently played. Bridge Over Troubled Water, Amazon Music, Try Alexa.
Just flicking here.
Bridge over 25 degrees, Sunday the 13th of June.
There you go, home screen. You guys know about Voice View by now, but it is there. Very responsive on this one. It's obviously a relatively expensive product. I think it's about £250 here in the UK, but it has a decent processor and a really good screen. So nice and responsive for Voice View. And for other commands as well. Cool. Alexa, turn off voice view.
Voice view exiting.
Anyone who has an Echo Show and needs to use voice view will know that you would probably not want it on all the time because it makes it very chatty. It will probably say every minute as the clock changes, etc. Great. Really brilliant sound. Really nice having a screen that can swivel around if you can see the screen. And lots of content to consume on that really nice big screen.
Yeah, thank you, Robin. Very interesting device. I mean, it's one of those things I've often thought, do I want one with a screen? And when I tried it, at first I found, first off, very verbose, like you say. But also, sometimes it doesn't give me, or it feels like it's not giving me the same information I would get from the Dot, which doesn't have the screen.
Yeah, definitely. I would only have it if you had people with eyes in the house, to be honest, or if you had some vision yourself, where, you know, particularly with the larger screen, and this one's really very bright, it's a good quality screen, then you can access information. It has built-in magnification, high contrast, invert colors, that sort of thing. So there's lots of nice features to take full advantage of what vision you have. And there, obviously, you can access some of the graphical stuff that is beneficial. But no, you're right. It's not as voice first as a Dot is, for example, where everything will be spoken. There are going to be times when, you know, you ask for the weather, it'll give you a minimal amount and then show you the rest, whereas it'll be more chatty, more verbose on one with a screen, without a screen. I should also mention, on the swivel side of things, it can get a bit confused sometimes, and I'm not sure if they're going to address this. So when you set it up, you get a piece of paper that you can put on the ground underneath it. It's a big circle, and it will show you on it the swivel circle of the thing. It's almost 360. But if you've got anything in the way, then you need to use that kind of guide when you're setting it up to say, okay, swivel it around to here, and I don't want you to go any further this way, you know, because it'll hit a wall or something and it might damage it. So that's one thing. And part of the setup is to say, when nothing's going on, default back to this orientation. So you can have like an at rest default orientation. And that actually at the moment isn't working. We might need to do it again. But one thing that we're wondering, because it always seems to swivel around and face its screen out of the window.
I'll still look out the window, Robin.
Well, the thing is, we mentioned on there, when you go into the room and you talk, or anyone talks to it, it can tell where that sound is coming from. And it will swivel to face it. And what we think is going on is that all the noises anywhere else in the house are reflecting off that window. It's treating it as like a, you know, a reflecting surface, and it thinks, oh, there's someone, you know, there, and it's swiveling around to face that person, thinking, okay, I'm going to override my default position to
so it's paranoid. It's a paranoid android, is that what you're telling me?
Well, I don't know, but hopefully they'll sort that one out, just to flag that to people, really. But yeah, I think it's brilliant. Is it worth the price? If you've got some eyes, I think so.
And 250 quid. But also, I think what's kind of cool about this is the fact that you can be sure you're on screen on the video call. I think that's the point for us, isn't it? That maybe that's the takeaway for us. Because when you're on a video call with someone, especially when you're on those devices, you know, I can drift away from the camera. I know it's a common thing for a lot of us. And the idea that the camera can kind of just sort itself out and come with us on it. I mean, obviously, you're not going to end up around the back of the device. I mean, unless you're, you know, as I have done, actually, I do tend to walk around a bit when I'm on the phone. So maybe I would do that. But I just think it's one of those things. It's kind of cool that it kind of just stays with you. So, no, I do quite like that. Anyway, there we go. That's the Echo Show 10. Tell us your thoughts. You can email us anytime, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Maybe you got one. Tell us what you're doing with it. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Right, okay, let's get back to those emails. We're going to hear from Dinos soon about our radio of old. That's my radio noise. But before that, let's tune in Andy with the emails. Here he is.
See, the 10, if you ask Lady A a question and the answer's no, just now that it's got the swivel facility, does she shake her head no? Like, no.
How would he know?
That would be good.
I mean, then the next one would obviously need to say yes as well, wouldn't it? So it would need to go up and down. Anyway, hi there, team. Lovely to have you back, and I'm pleased that all is well with you now, Stephen.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the discussion on last week's podcast regarding WWDC. That's how long
that's old.
And as always, I'm looking forward to trying out some of these new features coming to iOS 15. Brackets. Autumn is a fun time of year for Apple geeks like me. Smiley face. During the latest podcast, Robin mentioned something about turning that stupid annoying toolbar thing off, which was introduced in iOS 14. I totally agree. It's driving me mad, but I was unaware that it's possible to turn it off. If someone could please tell me how to go about getting rid of the stupid thing, I'd be extremely grateful. Certainly one of the most pointless ideas Apple have come up with, and in my view, definitely more of a hindrance than a help. Thanks so much, guys. Love the show. You all do a fantastic job. That's from Rachel.
Cool. So if you go into VoiceOver settings in accessibility, obviously, and then you go to verbosity, and in there you tap on container descriptions. That's the one that is new. And in there you can have a number of settings, and you can tick as many of these as you want, or you can, well, there's one that says none, but the first one is speak. So that's where it says, you know, tab bar, touch area, all that sort of thing. You can have play sound, which I've kept ticked. You can have change pitch, which I haven't. You've got braille. So that's if you've got a braille display, you could have that, and it would have, you know, the, it would say tab bar on the braille display. Or you can have do nothing. So obviously ticking that one will get rid of all of those, but I've got it on sounds, play sound.
Okay. I want to play in an audio clip we got in via email. This is from Peter, I believe.
Hi, Tech Talk team. It's Peter from Robin Hood County. Here's hoping you're all well. Thank you again for an informative programme. Listening to a programme about screen readers reminded me of when I started using my first computer in 1980. It was a sort of purple screen with orange writing, and I had enough vision then, and I used to administer a database. And when I moved over to the advanced manufacturing planning system that the factory was running, leaving my job in telephony, I used to write SQL programs. Fantastic it was. We called it Squirrel in those days. My first screen reader was Vista, which was then replaced by Zoom Text when I was in the Department of Stealth and Total Obscurity, or the Civil Service, for want of a better word. And I didn't like Zoom Text at all. When at home, I had a PC and I used Luna, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. Happy days, eh? Anyway, thank you again for a lovely show, and we'll try and keep the emails coming in. We can't afford for Andy to be furloughed. My taxes won't stand it anymore. Take care from Pete.
Thank you, Peter.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a nice. I'm liking this walk down memory lane this week. This is kind of cool. I like that. Yeah. Luna, I remember Luna. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to think how. I think Luna was probably on the way out when I was, you know, getting into this. But yeah, I do remember it. I do remember
Luna
it being around.
Luna for DOS, then Luna for Windows.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that, Peter. Another email from Andy.
Yep. And back to another one from Rachel. Hi there, team. Just a comment regarding the demo of Just Press Record that was featured on the most recent podcast. A few weeks back. It's also my favourite voice recording app. Well worth the money, says Rachel. The TFL rep said that during the demo that he wasn't sure if there was a way to rename recordings. Well, actually there is. I do it all the time, which is extremely useful for when I want to find recordings later. I know exactly what's what. So here's how it's done. Step one, once on the file to rename, perform a one finger double tap and hold. Now, this brings up the screen with options to share and also includes a rename button. Step two, double tap on rename, swipe right to the edit field, double tap to bring up the keyboard, ensure that the insertion point is at the start, and then rename your recording as you wish. The stamp that the app gives the recording will remain after the name you give it to remind you of the date and time that the recording was done. Step three, once you've typed your file name, double tap the done button at the bottom right to take you back to your list of recordings. Now, as you swipe through the list, you will hear files with the names you gave them, followed by the dates and times that the app gave them. I hope this helps. It's ideal if you need to keep recordings long term, i.e. lecture notes, for instance, and locate what you need quickly. All the best. Keep up with the fantastic shows. That's from Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel. It's become the Rachel Show. I'm loving it. This is the Rachel Show this week, which is brilliant. And all different Rachels as well. This is interesting. We've got a lot of... We are the blind tech show with the most Rachels. I think we can say that.
Yes.
I think that's official.
I think that's fair, yes.
Right, let's go to the inbox. Any more Rachels in there?
No, we're going to drift across to Shazad now, who has words for Robin.
Uh-oh.
Hi, everyone at Tech Talk. I hope that Stephen is on the mend.
I am.
He is. As he is the life and party of Tech Talk alongside Robin, Tim and Andy. Poor Sean. Can you ask Lord and Mighty Robin Christopherson to dial down his praises of playing Escape the Room games, as he should be praising more on Choose Your Own Story games instead of his on his Dot to Dot podcast, as I listen on my smart speaker or online. As another suggestion, I would also like to give Robin that he should label things in the podcast. For example, there should be an adult-only list.
Oof.
A kids only list and a routine list for Lady A, as I feel that having everything in one basket is confusing at times. Keep up the good work, as I hope Stephen gets well soon. That's from Shazad in Birmingham.
It's a cross feedback going on here between the streams. What's going on here?
The Dot to Dot Show. Do people know about that? No. Wow.
Never heard of it. Listen, let's move on, because we are very short of time now, and I want to get this in. This is really important, because we can now learn how to listen to classic radio. Well, I say classic radio, I guess it's today's radio, via apps on our phone, on our computer. Here is Dinos from the Technology for Life team to explain.
Hi there, my name's Dinos and I work for the RNIB as a Tech for Life coordinator. My talk today is about streaming national radio through VLC Media Player application. I think this information is going to be loved by anybody who loved radios, especially a radio enthusiast who used to own an old analog world radio like the Russian Vega radios of the 70s with the six shortwave bands that you explored by moving the dial, and you had a ratchet dial on the side to move through the shortwave frequencies. They say video killed the radio star and internet killed off shortwave radio. This little show is for the radio explorers out there who may be on travels or even sitting on their sofa but just wanted to listen to a radio station from the homeland, or a station a parent or grandparent played on an old shortwave radio. So how do you do it with VLC Media Player? You need a couple of things. You need VLC Player and you need Google. You need to be able to search in Google and you need to use specific keywords. For this example, we're going to choose Ireland as the country. What are the keywords that we're going to use? We know that Ireland's national channel is called RTE, so we say RTE in Google. We say leave a space, type out M3U, leave another space, type out radio. You're probably asking, what's an M3U? Well, an M3U or M3U8 file is a playlist file used by various audio and video playback programs. They may also contain references to online files for an internet radio station. M3U8 files are supported by a wide variety of media players such as iTunes, Windows Media Player and VLC Media Player. So that's the file that you want. It sort of starts with an HTTP and it ends with an M3U or M3U8 at the end, a .M3U suffix. It's hard to understand what they say sometimes, these files, so if you're downloading them, a good bit of advice is create a Word file, create a load of headings and information next to the links so you know what link you're going to be copying across and what it's going to do. So with that in mind, you've done your searches, you've explored the internet and tried to find these M3U files for your countries of choices or your radio, your national radio stations of choices and so on. So you've got all that in hand. You can, on a night, you can actually get this app. The VLC Media Player is on all platforms. I found it works better on the smart devices. I found it actually works easier in VoiceOver. In VoiceOver, and a typical example of how you would put the M3U link into the VLC player would be using VoiceOver, you navigate to the link, do a three-finger quadruple tap. In the VLC app, go to the network tab, open the stream option, tap there. So for me, it did do it automatically. Paste the URL. Otherwise, you might need to use the VoiceOver rotor to edit and flick down until it says paste and double tap. But sometimes on Android as well, it just actually automatically, sometimes it puts it in for you into the field already in the VLC player. My issues were with Android were, there's a couple of versions of Android around. So you've got Samsung's version, which is basically talkback, but they've altered some things to it. And then you've got the standard vanilla Android talkback, which is on Huawei's and Motorola's. Now, my issue was when doing this on the on an Android device, it would copy more information than, it would copy the link and then it would say comma link after, and then that would leave me with some editing, and then when I did the editing after, it wouldn't work. So it was just not copying across correctly. It was doing something to the links. So just to explain how I did it on a Huawei, which Huawei just runs standard talkback. So I do the L shape to copy last utterance. I open VLC player, go to the network area, the edit box to put the network address in. I use the L shape again. I choose the edit option, and automatically the paste command comes straight up, double tap, and the link's in there. It's just, I have a problem with it copying too much information. You're probably thinking, wow, this is, you know, there must be an easier way to do this. Well, there is. You can actually download a couple of different apps. So you've got the Simple Radio app for Android, which incidentally, R&IB Correct Radio is there. So you can find R&IB Connect Radio on the Simple Radio app for Android. I think it only cost me a few pounds. And it works perfectly on Android with TalkBack. No problems. You can also use TuneIn Radio Pro app for iOS, and you'll find R&IB Connect Radio there as well. R&IB Connect Radio don't give out the M3U streaming code, but at the end of the day, you can go straight to the website and you can stream straight from the website as well if you wanted. I think basically this show was just for all of us out there that just want to discover something different and to see what you can find by just looking for M3U codes and see how many national stations are giving out their M3U codes. And it really is an easy process to do it. And in some ways, I think one of the easiest ways to do it is in Windows. And in Windows, you've got, because you've got the keyboard, you can actually, it remembers all your past links as well in VLC media player on Windows, so you can just up arrow, down arrow, pick an old link that you put in and it'll work. I hope you liked my talk today. It was something different. I thought, you know, let's do it for the radio explorers out there. Thank you and have a nice day. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Dinos. And you can get in touch with the Technology for Life team by calling the R&IB helpline on 0303 123 9999. And you can also email the helpline, or indeed Technology for Life directly, the email address TFL, short for Technology for Life, at rnib.org.uk. Right, let's get back to a couple of emails. We've got Robin, Tim and Andy here. Andy, let's get back into the inbox then. We'll maybe have time for one, possibly two more.
All right, we'll start off with one here for the team on SkyQ from Alan Dite. I listened to last week's programme last night, as all of your programmes are recorded onto my internet radio. What a surprise when the man from Sky was interviewed about the new services Sky are now offering to people with a SkyQ box. I was lucky and I had these services already, as I was very keen to learn. I might be able to start selecting programs myself once it was switched on. So keen that I was, I rang Sky in Bristol and was told how to use this service. It certainly works, and I can now select my channels, choose my programs, and hear all the information that sighted people have enjoyed for years. I now have, I also have the means to select items and record what I want. It also has a full list of the recordings that you've made, and it all speaks to you. I'm writing this at 6:15 on Wednesday, the 17th of June, and the service is operating lovely. Thank you all for telling me. That's an email from Alan.
There you go. Well done, Alan, and I'm glad you got it, because that's the thing, right? Once you know about these functions, it does make all the difference. I cannot tell you how pleased I was. And, you know, it's funny, we've had a few criticisms of the conversation I had with Sky, talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, we should have nailed them to the floor over the fact that they hadn't done this since day one. You know what? It's here now, right? It's here now. I know that some might say, well, it's too late. But is it too late? You know, you can still get it now, right? That's the point. And, you know, I know that I'm not standing up for Sky on that decision at all. Of course it should have been here since day one. Absolutely. But the fact is it wasn't. It is here now. And I'd rather be in that position than still moaning about it and saying, I wish it was here. So let's enjoy it. And that's the good thing about it. So, you know, I'm all for progress. And the thing is, we can work with these companies or we can just shout at them. Shouting at them is not going to make them listen. Tell me if I'm wrong, guys, but I don't think that's the case. I don't think shouting at people and saying you should have, you know, done this 15 years ago is going to make any difference today. The fact is, it's here.
Shout at them until they do it.
Yeah.
And then thank them when they do.
I agree with that. I know it's not a popular view, but I agree with it. Okay, we've got time for just a brief, very brief one.
Advocate.
You know, I haven't got a brief one here, but I will give up this time for Tim because I know he wants to plug something.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well done, Andy. Hey, well done, Andy, aww, I tell you.
Thank you, Andy. Well done.
My brain, as you know, you is no use for this. Yeah. Yes, Tim, you're doing something rather exciting. Was it this week or next week?
It will be next week. It'll be the 19th of July. Make sure to be looking on the internet, the ACB.org website, or ACB Radio will be live streaming as well. I'll be part of a panel that will be discussing accessibility in the home. So literally everything from your large appliances for smart things in the kitchen, you know, your refrigerators, microwaves, etc., to washing and dryer machines, to your home devices like Amazon Echoes and the Google variety of things. Never know what they're calling it nowadays. All the way down to things like Tile or the new AirTags and things like that. So anything that you can use in and around the home that is, you know, quote unquote, smart and accessible. There will be a panel. It will go live at 7:30 UK time. So that'll be 2:30 here in the States Eastern time. And it'll run from 7:30 till 8:45. I will be, I think mine's around 8:15 UK time is when I'll be speaking. We'll have a Q&A afterwards. So definitely check that out as part of the National ACB Convention, the discussion on working smarter, not harder.
Glad you mentioned that, Tim. Yep, looking forward to hearing it, and good luck for it as well. That's it from us this week. Thank you so much for your time, as always. Thank you for your emails. Keep them coming. We really do appreciate them. We'll get into more next week. You can keep emailing techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Robin Christofferson, Tim Schwartz, and Emails Andy. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.